Barche Musar was Rav Yaakov Naiman. Rav Yaakov Naiman was Rosh Yeshiva originally in Lida, and then came to Eretz Yisrael in 1935. Passed away in 1983. His yard site's actually Aleph Elul, and he was a Talmud of the Chafetz Chaim, and had connections to Rav Chaim Ozer Grudzinski, who encouraged him to build the Yeshiva Or Yisrael, which was named after Rav Yisrael Salanter. So already from the personalities I've mentioned, the Chavetz Chaim, Rav Chaim Ozer, Rav Yisrael Salanter, you could see that he was not Hasidish, more of a Baal Musar, hence the name of the Sefer. If you ever saw Rav Yitzchak Cohen walking around YU, very often he's carrying the Sefer. Rav Yaakov Naiman's Darche Musar. Anyways, so Rav Naiman came to Eretz Yisrael in 1935. The Sefer was first printed in 1951, and he passed away in 1983. So I was zocher to be on the same planet as him. I was born in 1981, so I was in the world at the same time. But I thought of him. I thought of him this past Shabbos. I was looking something up from him on the Parsha, and then I started to look at some of his Chanukah Mamarim, and I was very pleased to find this piece. I think it's a very strong piece, and I want to learn it with you. And also, we mentioned last week in Pesachim, we mentioned very briefly. We got to meet very, very briefly a student of the Brisker Rav, who we said only lived 34 short years. Of Aryeh Pomeranchik, the author of the Torah Zra'im, and they were chavrusas. In their younger years, they were chavrusas. So it's a good hemshich from the end of last week's Gemara Shir to the beginning of this week's preparations for Chanukah. Okay, but enough introduction. Let's learn his holy words, and you'll see what a beautiful idea it is. And I hope it'll inspire you. I hope it'll motivate you to have a strong week of Limud Torah as we get ready for Chanukah. The piece is called Mesiras Nefesh LaTorah. Mesiras Nefesh obviously means self-sacrifice. Rabim Hikshu, many ask the following question. Madua lo nizkar betfilas alanisim hanes shel apach shemen shadalak shmona yama. We read through the text of the alanisim that we incorporate into our tfilos, and you'll notice it talks about the victory on the battlefields, it talks about the tremendous upset that took place. It doesn't talk about the nes pach shemen. This is a famous question. Rabim Hikshu, many ask this question. The Gemara focuses more in Maseches Shabbos Daf Chof Aleph on the miracle of the oil, but the Tefila focuses more on the military victory. And the question is why. So he explains a very, very simple but very important and very true yisod. Okay, Chava, this is not, you're not going to hear anything that's totally new in terms of ideas, I don't think. Maybe one idea. But in terms of the way that he presents it, I think it's critical to listen and to take it to heart. V'nira li levayr, ki zeh shakadosh baruch hu yachol u'mesugol lasos nisim gedolim. The fact that God makes miracles, and Hashem makes sometimes very great miracles, that a little jar of oil in the midway point of Bayasheni can last miraculously for 8 nights, as amazing as that is, eino chiddush. It's not a chiddush. Hashem makes miracles all day, all the time. We don't recognize them. Many of the miracles that we experience in our daily lives are shrouded in teva, in nature, right? In the natural order, what appears to be a natural order. But the experiencing of miracles, we've seen many miracles in history. Am Yisrael ra'as nisa yitzias mitzrayim ha'atzumim. We saw the awesome makos, we saw kriyas yamsuf. We've seen a lot of miracles in history. And all those miracles were nasu al yedei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem makes the miracles, and we get it. Kach she'ein kol chiddush v'zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu osa nisim. To the point that, if you think about it, when Hashem does a miracle, it's expected of Hashem. Hashem could do anything. And everything's a miracle if you have the right perspective. So the fact that Hashem makes miracles, it's gvaldik when we experience it. We're thankful for it. We acknowledge it. We appreciate it. But that's not the ikar of Chanukah. The fact that Hashem made the oil last is something that Hashem does all the time. We may not recognize it, we may not see it as openly, but that's not such a chiddush. Ikar ma sherotzim chazal lelamdeinu. What Chazal want us to recognize, and what they want us to daven over, what's incorporated into the Alanisim, vizos anu motziim betfilas Alanisim, what Chazal want us to daven over on Chanukah, to really daven over, to really try to internalize, is ma anu mechuyavim lasos lechvod HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you printed out the piece, I sent it to the WhatsApp group, I would recommend underlining these next two lines. What am I mechuyav to do for Hashem? Now, what does Hashem do for me? Hashem does miracles for us. Gevaldik. Yashar koyach. We're excited to see it. The question a Jew asks himself on Chanukah, and it's a little bit related to what some of us learned yesterday from the Chortkover Rebbe, is what am I prepared to do for Hashem? What am I expected to do for Hashem? What am I prepared to fight for? What am I prepared to sacrifice for? Right? How much do I take real responsibility to uphold Torah and Torah values? You realize that when the soldiers went to the battlefield, it was essentially a suicidal mission. They were prepared to die for Torah. They were not expecting to pull off some unbelievable upset. They didn't have a guarantee from Hashem. He writes it explicitly here. Ki lo ha'isalehem kol haftacha me'akadosh baruch hu. They didn't have a promise from Hashem that they were going to be victorious on the battlefield. V'derach ha'teva ha'yishol ha'yitzuchu. Derach ha'teva, they should not be successful, victorious. That's not a given at all. U'v'chol zos masur nafshim le'hareg l'man kedusha shemo yizbarach. But they said, if the Torah is going down, we're going down with it. That was the choice that they made. And they were zocha to see unbelievable miracles on the battlefield. But what we need to think about on Chanukah, what we need to daven over on Chanukah, and especially again in our world today, where Torah values continue to be challenged and questioned and ridiculed at times, right? Like we learned about, you know, Zaydim, Torah, the Zaydim Biad Oske Torah Secha, the piece we learned from Rav Ruchem Olshin the other week. Right, the people who mock Torah and ridicule Torah. What are you prepared? How much are you willing to fight for Torah? How much are you willing to fight for Torah? Are you prepared to wear your tzitzis out? Or are you prepared to do that much? Are you prepared to walk down the street with a sefer? Are you prepared to tell your boss, I can't work because it's my holiday? I got to leave early today because it's Shabbos. Are you willing to stand outside a bathroom in a public place and recite Asher Yatzar with people wondering why you're mumbling to yourself? How far are you prepared to go in terms of your Mesiras Nefesh for Torah? Would you be prepared to fight for Torah with your life? That's what Chazal are trying to emphasize. That's what Chazal are trying to help us focus on in the Al Anisim. And therefore, they put the emphasis in the Tefillah of Al Anisim not on the miracles that Hashem did for us, but they made the focus, what are we prepared to do for Hashem? Now, listen to this. Listen to this next paragraph. It should make you shake in an inspired way. He says, one time, Pam Sa'alti Eitzel Marana Chavetz Chaim Zatzal Besuda Shlishis. Imagine? I was once Zoche to sit by the Chavetz Chaim for Shalash Shudas. I'm not sure what year Rav Yaakov Naiman was born. Like I told you, he came to Eretz Yisrael in 1935. The Chavetz Chaim we know passed away in 1933. So again, I'm not sure how old he was, if he was in his younger years. I'm not sure exactly. Again, he definitely had a relationship with the Chavetz Chaim. And he said, I was zocha to be by the Chavetz Chaim one time for Shalash Shudas. And I was sitting there, yachad, im od kamer rabbanim. Again, it could be he was already, Rav Yaakov Naiman was already an established Rav. Again, the Chavetz Chaim was the one who told him to open the Yeshiva Katana, or Yisrael, when he was still in Lida, and then he continued it in Petach Tikva when he came to Eretz Yisrael. Anyways, the Chavetz Chaim was sitting there with a bunch of other rabbis, Shalash Shudas time. And all of a sudden, he said, the Chavetz Chaim let out a scream. Tzak HaChavetz Chaim. The Chavetz Chaim started screaming at the rabbis who were gathered there. Madua anu shoskim u'machrishim lenasa berosya. How are we quiet? How are we so passive? How do we remain silent in the face of everything that's happening in Russia? Heim lo nosnim lanu lishmur ala Torah. They don't allow us to guard the Torah, to keep the Torah. Aleinu lakum v'lasos imam milchama. The Chavetz Chaim said we should be prepared to go to war over this. Right now, Cheva, you've seen pictures of the Chavetz Chaim, right? You've seen pictures of the Chavetz Chaim. I'm sure the Chavetz Chaim was at least in his 80s when this story took place. The Chavetz Chaim was a short little... The Chavetz Chaim is going to go to war against what? Against Russia? He's going to take on all of Russia? We need to go out to fight for Torah. V'chi ma anu mefachtim. And I know what you're going to say, the Chavetz Chaim says. We're going to get killed. What are you afraid of? Shema yahargu asanu. What, maybe they're going to kill us? Says the Chavetz Chaim, Kedai avor kvod shemo yisbarach liharik. It's kedai to die for the honor of Hashem. Now again, the Jewish people live with the marching orders of the Torah, which is v'chai b'hem. We're not interested in it. We don't seek to die, right? That's not a goal of ours. But it's something we have to be prepared to do, to give our life for Kiddush Hashem. Kedai avor kvod Shema Yisbar. Chavetz Chaim said it's kedai for me to go out to be killed. There's another version of this story that I once saw. I think it was in... I'm not going to be able to find it right now. I think it was in the Sefer Megid Givos Olam. I'll pull it out, though. I have it here. I think I once saw Rav Shurkin has two volumes called Megid Givos Olam. These amazing little storybooks of Gedolim, Tzadikim, stories, Divrei Torah, interesting things. So I think I saw in here one time that the story goes that the Chavetz Chaim said, I'll go out to battle and I'll be killed, but when I die, at least that will, you know, that will overturn the Gezer and Shemayim. I mean, the Chavetz Chaim said, I'm prepared to throw myself, you know, to the soldiers, to give my life in order to what? In order to be able to uphold the Torah. Now this is the Chavetz Chaim, right? Klal Yisrael needs a Chavetz Chaim. But he said, how are we so passive about the fact that Torah is being trampled? Kamuvan, he writes in parentheses here, obviously his kavana was that in Russia, they weren't allowing people to study Torah even in private. It wasn't just that they were trying to, limit the Torah or to control the Torah as it was taking place in the public sphere, but they were literally trying to eradicate religion, and a person has to be prepared to give his life for that. So Chavetz Chaim said, why are we so passive? How could it be that we're so uninspired to do something about it? We need to be prepared to fight for it. And then Rav Yaakov Naiman writes something remarkable. He says, we think our job is to save the Torah. Now the truth is, the Torah is going to be fine. Ragilim anashim lachshov b'daitam. We sometimes think, she'anachnu tzrichim lid'og avor ha'Torah v'hadavar eino nachon. We think we need to what? We need to worry about the Torah. Chevra, let's pause here for a second. We don't need to save the Torah. The Torah, I guarantee, is going to be fine. You know how I know the Torah is going to be fine? Because the Torah belongs to Hashem. And the Torah is the Dvar Hashem. And just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is eternal, the Torah is eternal. Let's review a Gemara. Let's pause here for a second. Let's review a Gemara in Maseches Shabbos. Shabbos Kuf Lamed Ches. There was a period in Jewish history where the rabbis were worried that Torah is going to be destroyed. That Torah is going to be forgotten. The Gemara tells us the story, Shabbos Kuf Lamed Ches Amud Beis, Tanu Rabbanan, Kishenichnasu Rabboseinu Lekerem B'Yavna. As the sages were being moved from one location to another, and they entered the Kerem B'Yavna, the vineyard in Yavna, the rabbis declared at that time, Asida Torah Shetishtakach Mi Yisrael. In the future, the Torah is going to be forgotten. And you know what they brought as a proof? The Pasuk in Amos. Hine yamim ba'im nu ma'ashem alukim. Days are coming. Vishlachti ra'av ba'aretz. And there's going to be this unbelievable famine in the world. Lo ra'av l'lechem v'lo tzama l'mayim kim l'shmo es divrei Hashem. People are going to be starving for the word of God. Nu, so go get it. Says the Navi Amos, uksiv. V'na'u miyam ad yom. Umitzafon va'az mizrach yeshotetu lavakesh es devar Hashem v'lo yimtzo. People are going to be searching from one sea to another sea, from north to east. They're going to be looking in all the different directions, trying to seek out the word of Hashem v'lo yimtzo, and it will not be found. So the rabbi said, you see, the Navi is predicting the Torah is going to be forgotten. And the Gemara has a little bit of a discussion about what does it mean that they're going to be searching and it's going to be forgotten. It gives a whole example here. Until finally, as the Gemara famously concludes over there, Shabbos Kuf Lamed Ches Amud Beis, Tani Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Omer. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai stood up at that moment and he said to his rabbinic colleagues, Chas V'Shalom Shetishtakach Torah Mi Yisrael. How could you talk like that? The Torah will never be forgotten. Shenamar Ki Lo Yishachach Mi Pizaro. The Torah will never be forgotten. We have a guarantee in the Chumash itself. The Torah will not be forgotten. Mi Pizaro. Elamani Makayim Yeshotu Levakesh Es Devar Hashem V'lo Yimso. So what does it mean when the Navi Amos says people are going to be roaming around searching for Torah and they're not going to find it? It means, says the Gemara, Shelo Yimtzu Halacha Berura U'Mishna Berura B'Makom Echad. You won't find Halacha Berura and Mishnah Berura in one place. It happens to me, I once walked into a shul, and there's a set of Svarim called Mishnah Berura, of course, you've heard of it, the Chavetz Chaim. There's also a set of Svarim called Halacha Berura, and they happen to have been on the same shelf together. So I thought of this Gemara. It says, you're not going to find Halacha Berura and Mishnah Berura together. And on this shelf, in this base medrash, he had the Halacha Berurah and the Mishnah Berurah on the same shelf together. So I said, see, even Halacha Berurah and Mishnah Berurah will be found together. Okay, that's just a joke. But a serious joke, a serious joke. So Chavra, yes, will the Torah go through its ups and downs? Yes. But Torah is never going to be forgotten. Says Rav Yaakov Naiman, our job is not to worry about saving the Torah. The Torah is going to be fine. The Torah is not going to be lost. The Torah is not going to be destroyed. We think our job is to save the Torah, to worry about the Torah. We're not worrying about the Torah. I'll read you another line. In the Chafetz Chaim al HaTorah, which I have here, in Parshas Bamidbar, in the footnote, it says that Rav Chaim Ozer Grudzinski, again, Rav Chaim Ozer Grudzinski was the Gadol Hador of Klal Yisrael prior to World War II. Rav Chaim Ozer was the one who told Rav Yaakov Naiman, who we're learning today, to go and build his yeshiva, or Yisrael. So Rav Chaim Ozer Grudzinski was also once at a gathering of the Vada Yeshivos. And he said, well, you're sitting here, the way that people are talking, it sounds like you're worried about whether or not Torah is going to survive. Torah is for sure going to survive. Rav Chaim Ozer said there's two types of mikvahs. There's a mikvah, and then there's what's called a makor mayim chayim. What's the difference between a mikvah and a makor mayim chayim? Water. A mikvah is collected rainwater, water collected in a particular way that it has the status of a mikvah. A mikvah can be stopped up. A mikvah is a hole in the ground that is filled with pure water, and you could fill in a mikvah, you could block a mikvah, you could try to stop a mikvah. But a makor mayim, a true source of pure water, can't be stopped up. Said Rav Chaim Ozer Grudzinski, the Torah is like a makor mayim chayim. You can't stop it. If you try to plug it up over here, the water will divert itself and emerge somewhere else. Torah will never be forgotten. Torah will never be stopped. So what's the question then that we have to ask ourselves? The question we have to ask ourselves is, what is Torah going to mean to me? What is Torah going to mean to Ashi and Evan and Josh and Seth? What is Torah going to mean to Eli and Avi, to Yekusiel? What is Torah going to mean to Gabe? What is Torah going to mean to Moshe Tzvi? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. Torah is going to be fine. HaTorah hi shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Aleinu lo muta lidog l'Torah. We don't have to worry, so to speak, about Torah. Yesh mi sheyidog avurah. The Torah is going to take care of it. Hashem's got it. Don't worry. Torah is fine. Aleinu rak lahargish v'lechusha Torah hu osher chayenu. The question is, do we feel that Torah is the happiness of our life? Do we feel that Torah gives my life purpose? Hi anosenis. That Torah is what gives me meaning in my life. V'rak hi nosenis. Sipuk la'adam ba'olamo. That the Torah is the only thing that satisfies me truly in this world. V'chas v'shalom, lulei ha-Torah chaye adam harei heim kebehema. And without Torah, would I be really that much different than an animal? I'd be a human animal, but I'd be an animal. The Torah gives me a sense of structure. The Torah gives me meaning and purpose and direction. L'lo kol tachlis, I'd be left without purpose. I'd be left without goals without Torah. V'al zet tzarech ha-adam lahodos la'Hashem yisbarach. So on Chanukah, we have to celebrate the fact, thank you, Hashem, for giving me the Torah. And we say to Hashem, we daven over the fact that Hashem, I'm also prepared to make sacrifices for Torah when it's not convenient. Al shenasun lanu Torah's emes. Thank you, Hashem, for a true Torah. V'nasun la'am yisrael chelek b'torasso. Ki lo anachnu osim l'kadosh baruch hu tova kesha oskim b'torah. Chevra, you're not doing anyone a favor by coming to shir this morning other than yourself. You're not doing a favor for Hashem. Okay, you're doing me a favor because I'd be very lonely if no one showed up. So on a Bein Adam L'Chavera level, you're doing something. But you're not like, Hashem, look what I did for you this morning. I got up this morning and I learned a piece of Chanukah Torah from Rav Yaakov Naiman, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. You're not doing Hashem any favors. You're doing yourself a favor. Right? You're not doing a tova for Hashem. As the Pasuk says in Iyov, Im Tzadakta Matitein Lo. It's a beautiful Pasuk. It's Iyov Perek Lamed Hei. Im tzedakta, if you live a life of righteousness, ma titen lo, what did you give Hashem? Hashem, look, I gave you tefillin this morning, and I gave you Shabbos on Shabbos, and I gave you the bracha I made on my drink this morning, and I gave you the tzitzis I'm wearing, and I gave you the Torah that I have in my mind. Right? Look at all these things I do for you, Hashem. And I daven to you, Hashem. Right? You're not doing Hashem any favors. When you bring a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash, you're not doing anything for Hashem. You're doing it for yourself. When you think you're doing Hashem a favor, So Hashem says, what are you talking about? You think you're doing me a favor? I gave you the gift of Torah. You're not giving me a gift. I gave it to you. And therefore, Chevra, listen to this line. And here he says a beautiful Chiddush. You know what it says in Al Anisim? It says in Al Anisim that Hashem helped us on the battlefield. Hashem took up our grievances. Hashem took up our fight. But Rav Yaakov Naim makes a beautiful diuk. Look at the words. We say in Al Anisim, on Chanukah, Amadta lahem be'eis sarasam. Hashem, you stood by our side in our moments of difficulty. Rav te'esrivam. You fought our grievances, right? You defended our position. Says Rav Yaakov Naim, and look how we describe it. Who were we fighting for? Who was in pain? Klomar, Masaya Kadosh Baruch Hu Amad Lahem. You know when Hashem came to our defense? Bitzarasam. When Hashem saw that we weren't pained over Hashem losing his Torah, Hashem says, no one's taking away my Torah. I don't care what the Greeks are. I don't care how powerful they are. I don't care how rich and how deep their philosophy is. They're never going to replace my Torah. The question is, are you Jews going to care for yourself? Does it bother you that you're losing your connection to Torah? And when Klal Yisrael felt that it was tzarasam, it was our pain, b'shah sheheim hirgishu ki bitol Torah chas v'shalom, hu lo tzarasu shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ela tzarasam, rivam, dinam, when we felt that it was our problem, not just that it pains, of course it pains Hashem to see his Torah trampled, but when you realize that it pains me, right, and it's our pain, and it's our grievance, and it's our battle. Then Hashem said, oh, now we can talk. Now that you realize what Torah means to you, now Hashem says, now I'll stand by your side to fight with you. So the question we ask ourselves on Chanukah, Chevra, again, is do I feel how important Torah is in my life? And what am I prepared to sacrifice for Torah? Am I prepared to learn Torah on a day that's really busy? Am I prepared to challenge myself to continue to grow in Torah? Or do I feel with each passing year I'm learning less and I'm less serious and I'm less focused and I'm less interested? That's the question we ask ourselves on Chanukah. Am I fighting for the Torah? And do I see the loss of Torah in the world as not just, oh yeah, I feel bad for God? Do you feel bad for yourself? Moshe Rabbeinu b'shah shekibla satorah b'shamayim. Haya alav la'aroch milchama im ha'malachim. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Shabbos that when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to get the Torah, he had to fight against the angels to get the Torah. The angels said, don't give the Torah to Basar Vadam. The angels screamed at Hashem, Hashem, are you out of your mind that you're giving the Torah to human beings? That is such a waste. Keep your Torah in Shemayim where it's appreciated. And Moshe goes up and he captures the Torah, Kefi Shenamar B'Tehillim, like the David HaMelech says in Tehillim. And the Gemara discusses it there in Maseches Shabbos. Shavisa Shevi. You captured a captive. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu had to fight the angels. In order to what? In order to get the Torah. Lule melchama lahayinu makablu matorah. Without being prepared to fight for it, Chevra, you're not going to get the Torah. You have to be prepared to fight. Moshe Rabbeinu fights angels to get the Torah. When Yaakov Avinu, in this week's Parsha, gets into a fight with Saro Shel Esav, he's fighting over Torah. The Chafetz Chaim said a very beautiful thing. Rav Chanan Wasserman quoted the Chafetz Chaim. It's quoted here in Chafetz Chaim al Torah also, I don't remember where. The Chafetz Chaim said, why is it that Yaakov fought an angel? Do we ever find that Avram fought angels? No. Avram was visited by angels, he invited them into his tent, gave them a nice meal. Do we find that Yitzchak fights angels? No. We find angels crying over Yitzchak at the Akedah. Why is Yaakov the one who gets into a whole fight with the Sitra Achra? He literally is fighting against angels. You know what the Chafetz Chaim said? Very deep thing. The Chafetz Chaim said, because the Yetzer Hara says, you want to do chesed like Avram Avinu? Gesundheit, go do chesed. I'm not going to fight you over chesed. You want to be a davener like Yitzchak, Avoda? Go ahead, no problem. Where does the Yetzer Hara want to stop a Jew? Where's the battlefield? Where's the fight? Where's the thing that's going to either make us Jewish or not? It's not the chesed and the davening. Because you know what? Other religions also, they also do chesed and they also pray. The thing that sets us apart from the rest of the world is the fact that we have something called Torah. That we learn Torah. That we have an actual law that was given to us, a system of living that was given to us by Hashem. we have a Torah, we have the Dvar Hashem that was given to us at Har Sinai. That's what the Yetzer Hara is prepared to fight over. That's what a Malach is prepared to fight over. So you see, when it comes to Torah, a person has to be prepared to fight against Malachim. And without the fight, says Rav Yaakov Naiman, you can't have Torah. You have to Melchamta Shel Torah. Right? If you're going to be passive in Chavrusa time, and you're not going to work hard in the Gemara, if you're going to be passive in Shir, and not try to fight over the ideas, so you're not going to really acquire the Torah. That's also part of the fight of Torah. Ki b'shosh adam nilcham al davar mesuyam, because when you're willing to fight for something, what does that show? It shows it's important to you. Hareza mare ki zeno gea lamod. It shows that this really matters to me. V'hu ma'od rotza bazeh. I really want this. And therefore, lachein kisha korach rotza levatel as a Torah. When Korach came also to challenge the authority of Moshe Rabbeinu, Hayatzarach Moshe Rabbeinu lispal al teifen el minchasam, Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, please don't let Korach be successful. Ki lelo ze hayakorach matzliach chas v'shalom levatel haTorah. Because if not for Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah to stop Korach, Korach maybe would have what? Would have caused some form of bittul Torah. V'asi v'hi, mipnei shekisha'anu lo moshim nafshenu ala Torah yesh koach bi'ara sitra achra levat lachas v'shalom. You look at the fights of Torah. Right? Whether it's Moshe versus the angels, or Moshe versus Adas Korach, the willingness to fight for Torah. Right? It's Pinchas picking up a spear and taking a stand for Torah. And again, I know that these images are very graphic, and sometimes they, you know, very, very bloody, and very, you know, they sound very intense. But yeah, there's a certain intensity a Jew has to have for Torah. Otherwise, you're just handing it over to the other side. With this, maybe we can answer maybe the famous question about Chanukah. What's the famous question the Pnei Yoshua asks in Masech HaShabbos? The Pnei Yoshua asks in Masech HaShabbos the following question. However, you all know the story. The Gemara says they searched, they found pure oil. It was only enough to last. For one night it lasted. For 8 nights. Do you need to use pure oil to light the menorah? Is that a halacha? Well, it's ideal. But we have a concept in halacha. It's called Tumah Hutra B'tzibur. Tumah Hutra B'tzibur means that when the overwhelming majority of something is Tameh, we can sometimes allow something to take place even in a state of Tumah. So that means if the Jewish people collectively are Tameh, maybe you can bring the Karban Pesach even though you're Tameh. When the oil, and all the oil is Tameh with the exception of one flask, so you can light the menorah with Tameh oil. Tumah Hutra B'tzibur. Toma is permitted when the tzibor is tame. So they could have used tame oil. Hayefshur lishtamish b'shem and tame. They could have used shem and tame. Hashem didn't need to make a miracle. What would have been wrong with using shem and tame? It would have been, given the circumstances, it would have been halachically acceptable. So he gives a very powerful answer. V'nira li letaritz b'zeh. Shakadosh Baruch Hu rotza laharos lanu. You know what Hashem was teaching us? It's true. Could we have relied on the leniency of Tumah Hutra B'tzibur? We could. And there's a time and a place to what? To rely on a kula, to rely on a leniency, to follow a more lenient opinion. It has its place in the life of a Jew. However, when we're talking about Chanukah, we're talking about the fight for Torah, we're talking about Mesiras Nefesh, this is not the time or place to start compromising the quality of our halachic observance. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by making this miracle, wanted to show them, Shelo nechapes la'atzmeinu haterim. Don't be so quick, especially when you're talking about the essence of Torah, which is what the menorah embodies. The menorah is the embodiment of Torah in the Beis HaMikdash. There were really two kelim in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Tziv says, we have two kelim that represent Torah in the Beis HaMikdash. You have the Aron with the Luchos, and then you have the menorah. The Aron represents Torah Shebechsav. The menorah represents Torah Shebaal Peh and Pnimiyas HaTorah. So don't be so quick. The Torah Shebaal Peh, right, is our part of Torah. Torah Shebechsav, the Torah, as Hashem gave it to us, 5,845 psukim, it's not changing. Torah Shebaal Peh is our role in Torah. It's our ability to paskin a shayla. It's our ability to say a chiddush in Tosfos. It's our ability to look at a gemara with a fresh eye. Don't be so quick when it comes to the menorah, when it comes to that chelik of Torah, our chelik in Torah. Don't be so quick to adopt leniencies. You know why? Because when you start to say, well, you know, we can do this, we can do a little like that, you know what happens? If a person has an attitude of being casual with Torah, eventually the whole thing falls apart. If a person is always busy looking for an easier approach, so you're undermining the essence of Torah, which is what? Which is a fight. It's Moshe fighting angels. It's Yaakov fighting angels. It's a willingness to stand up to Korach, who's questioning the authority of Torah. If you're not prepared to fight for it, you're in big trouble. So therefore, on the victory of Chanukah, we're not going to rely on this heter. It's a legitimate heter. But we're not going to seek out kulas, leniencies. Because when we start to do that, yimtza al kol davar heter. Wow. You can find heterim, you can find excuses, you can find a way to water down Torah anywhere and everywhere, and you can back it up with sources. You can always find a way. Shamati ki asaba zatzal mi slabodka, ranosan tzvi finkel. I heard in the name of the altar of Slabodka, listen to this. Haya ocha bepesach marur, umiyad la'achar ha'achila, haya misalif. Don't try this at home, kids. The altar of Slobodka, when he would eat the marah, I guess he used horseradish. And he would take a serious kazayas of horseradish. And he would eat it, and he would become so overwhelmed by it that he would faint from eating it. You hear? He says, I heard that the altar of Slobodka would eat marah on Pesach, and immediately after eating it, he would faint. Vayaholech lishon umavake she'iru oso lefnei chatzos halayla. It would be passed out, and he would say to them, you know, I'm so sick from eating the mar, but, you know, I'm going to go lie down. Wake me up a little bit before chatzos, so I can quickly eat the afikom and I can finish up the, you know, the Pesach Seder. Shalos o Talmidav. So the Talmidim asked the altar of Slobodka. They said, Rebbe, so, you know, maybe like, find a different way. So don't eat the mar. It's dangerous to you. You're putting your life in danger every time you eat the mar. Now again, obviously, if it was a real danger, the halacha would be not to eat the mar. But they said to the Rebbe, you know, it's not so pasha for you to eat the mar. It's really hard for you to eat the mar. And you do it, and then you're knocked out for half of the Seder, and then we wake you up before chatzos just to finish up. But maybe, like, you know, so don't eat the mar. It's only derabanan bizman hazeh. Ana lehem, the altar of Slobodka said to them, this is such an important hashkafa. It's a musr dik hashkafa. And maybe some of us are not used to hearing such strong things. But it's important to put this into your heart and into your mind in the right way. The altar of Slobodka said, im naschil lechapes heterim, if we start going down that path of always doing what's easy or convenient, as I nimsa heterim lechola Torah kula. Chavir, you can find a heter for anything and everything. You could always find a way to explain, to rationalize why today is not a good day for learning. Why today is too hard for this or for that. And before you know it, it's too hard to keep Shabbos, it's too hard to keep kosher, it's too hard to do this, it's too hard to do that. You come up with all sorts of explanations and excuses, and you can even back it up with sources. The Altar of Slobodka said, I'm not interested in that. Uve emes kosef Ramban, the Rahilig Ramban writes, ki ha'adam yachol liyos naval b'rishus ha'torah. Chaver, you know this concept. Kedoshim Tiyu. What is the concept of Kedoshim Tiyu, Parshas Kedoshim, that was said to the entire Klal Yisrael? Kedoshim Tiyu, the Ramban says, is you could be what's called a Naval Bershus HaTorah. You could be a person who lives a life of pleasure seeking and do it all within the letter of the law. A person who's a big Baal Taiva can have many wives, so he never has to go through that period of the month where he has to separate from his wife. He'll just set up his wives on a rotation. So he's able to fulfill his desires at all time. A person can be a gluttonous person, says the Ramban. And a person can eat and eat and eat and eat and be a big Baal Taiva when it comes to Achila and have the finest standards of kashrus. He can enjoy, he can eat, and he can eat, and he can eat. You can find ways within the letter of the law to satisfy every physical desire, every physical pleasure. But the Torah says, Kedoshim to you. Be a bigger than that. Be holier than that. I'll call davar yachol limtzol heter. You can find a heter for anything. V'yavi la'atzmo raya mi'atorah shu tzoydek. And you can bring a proof that it's legitimate, that it's kosher. V'lachein osa kodesh baruch hu neis pach shemen. Shu Hashem's response to the valiant warriors on the battlefield who were not prepared to compromise anything, was that Hashem said, I'm going to make a miracle with the menorah so that you also don't have to compromise. Laharos lanu es haderech shelo lachapes haterim el lakayim kafiat tzivoy. To do it right, to do it in a lichat chila way. I always like to point out, the Gemara has a discussion. Where do you put the menorah? Should I put it on the same side of the doorway as the mezuzah to stack the right side with mitzvos? Or should I put the menorah opposite the mezuzah to surround myself with mitzvos? And the Gemara's conclusion, of course, is the menorah is on the left and the mezuzah is on the right. But I often say to people that I think the message of the menorah being placed opposite the mezuzah is what Rav Naiman's teaching us here. You know the halacha. We put the mezuzah on a slant. Why do we put the mezuzah on a slant? It's a very fascinating halacha. It's a machlokas rishonim. Should the mezuzah be placed vertically? Should the mezuzah be placed horizontally? We have machlokas rishonim and we do something in the middle. We do a compromise shita. We put the mezuzah on a slant. Very fascinating. But I tell people every year at Hanukkah time, the mezuzah is a compromise. The menorah is keneged the mezuzah. The menorah is on the opposite side. What does it mean keneged? It opposes the mezuzah. If the mezuzah represents the world of compromise, which has a very strong place by a Jew, being able to compromise is something that we value. In the right context, compromise is critical. But when it comes to menorah, it's the opposite of mezuzah. Menorah represents no compromise. Menorah represents the willingness to say, there's times when a Jew has to say, no, I'm not going to take the easier path. I'm not going to seek out the heter, even though I know some people rely on this hashkacha, and maybe it would be more convenient. I know some people do this on Shabbos, and it would be more convenient. I'm not interested in conveniences. I understand that kiheim chayinu ba'orech haminu, towards my whole life. And therefore, the brave chashmonaim went out to the battlefield without any guarantees they were going to be successful. They were prepared to die. The Chavetz Chaim says, if we have to fight against Russia, and they're going to kill us, well, then that's what we have to do. Again, halavai, we should never know. We should never know of, such a thing of dying al-Kiddush Hashem. But again, like the Altar Slobodka said, I'm going to eat the mar, and I'll deal with the consequences after. Because I'm not interested in compromising Torah. When it comes to Torah, I'm not prepared to compromise. The final paragraph, Chavra. Va'etzel l'sragel b'derech zohu. The way to accustom ourselves to this derech is Sha'adam lo yismach b'shum inyan ruchani al sichlo v'havanaso. The first step to making sure that my decisions are thoughtful and my decisions are strong is not to rely. When it comes to spiritual matters, don't make decisions on your own. Don't be the type of person who thinks he's going to figure it all out. Talk to your rabbeim, talk to your mashpiim, talk to your mashkichim, talk to someone who's a little bit older, talk to your parents, talk to someone who has a little bit more perspective. When it comes to spiritual matters, don't rely, don't trust your own mind because you can rationalize a lot of things. Ela al kol she'ela yisya'itzim ha'chachamim mori derech. Speak to chachamim. Speak to people who understand you and understand the context of your life, but also could say, you know what, I think you're not holding yourself to a proper standard. Or they'll say, this is a place where it's appropriate to be lenient. Right? But don't trust your own ideas. V'chein ha'chacham atzmo. Some of the most amazing things when you see, Gedolim seeking the counsel of other Gedolim. I remember a number of years ago, there were some beautiful pictures going around of Rav Shechter sitting with Rav Elyashiv, asking Rav Elyashiv, Rav Shechter what? Rav Shechter can't figure it out on his own? Our Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Herschel Shechter can't figure it out on his own. He doesn't know enough Torah, he knows plenty of Torah. But sometimes you got to take a shaila to another Adam Gadol. To discuss it, not to assume that I have it all figured out. So all the more so, people like ourselves who hardly know any Torah, we have to talk to people who know a lot of Torah and get some advice from them, not to trust our own knowledge. Kizoi amunas chachamim, to strengthen our belief in the chachamim, that's what Chanukah is, Torah Shaba al Peh, the power of the chachamim to uphold the Torah. Uvederach zu yachol la'odim lisragel l'kayim es ha-Torah, kafi asher nitztavinu, and in this way, a person accustoms himself to fulfilling the Torah properly, lelo shinuyim v'aterim, without, God forbid, making changes to Torah, and without, God forbid, watering down Torah. So, chaver, that's what we're davening over on Chanukah. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu stood by our side, but amad talem ve'esar asam. It has to be, we have to, the Torah is going to be fine. Nothing's going to get rid of the Torah. The Torah is going to find a way to keep going. The only question is going to be, to what degree am I going to be a part of that success of the Torah? Am I going to save myself? You're not doing Hashem a favor. Tzadakta ma titen lo. If you're a tzaddik, you're not doing Hashem any favors. You're doing yourself a favor. And that's the Mesiras Nefesh of the Chashmonaim that we think about in our tefillos over the course of Chanukah. Okay? Beautiful piece, no?